Father, we thank you again for this day. We look forward to the great anticipation this coming week. Our folks are planning, worked hard, looking forward to being a servant to people and most of all to you. Now we ask this, we open this precious book again tonight for a few minutes around it, encourage our hearts and help us understand some things about life. And we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. And what I'd like for you to do, if you would, turn with me to, first of all, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And a few weeks ago, I preached a message from this chapter, but I'm not going to preach that tonight. But I had a note for a brother who's given to me asking a question about this particular event of that message. And it went something like this, and what he's saying, and I'm going to answer that question. I do that every once in a while. I have a number of things that people ask questions about Bible, and then when I get that and work on it for a period of time, preach a message on that. And I've been working on some others that was written, asked a number of weeks ago, and not had a chance to do that, but this is important, I think. And so it'll take a few minutes. It shouldn't take long. We'll talk about it. They said, Pastor, you know, in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says, when Jesus said, take up thy cross and follow, take up the cross, follow me, what cross is Jesus talking about? The cross, as we know it, had not yet been happened at this time. Is it the cross of the resurrection between God and man and man? And it's a good question, I think. So we're going to look at that tonight for just a few minutes. And I want to turn to Mark chapter 10, and I want to read we'll paraphrase a little bit, because we preached this message not just a few weeks ago. We talked about the rich young ruler from 17 down to 22. We see that he came to Christ, and he'd asked this question to kind of lead into the message tonight for a few minutes. He asked the question, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why thou callest me good? There's none good but one, that is God. And then he gives six commandments here, and you notice these six commandments are the commandments to man. The first four commandments are commandments for God, but this is to man. And, of course, we looked at those in detail, and we'll do that tonight. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I love that. The other verses in the books that talked about this didn't mention about this thing of Christ loving him. But that was, I would expect that of Christ. He loved enough. He's not going to beat around the bush. He comes right to the thing in his heart that which in turn has hindered him from being what God would have him to be. And he said, beholding him, loved him, and said to him, one thing thou likest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have what? He didn't say life eternal. You've got to have that already before you understand this. He said that you have treasures in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Now, interesting, because you can't have treasures in heaven unless you're going there. Amen? Do you get that? Because you have reservation, that's through Jesus Christ. On the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, you can get treasures in heaven by serving God after you've been born into the family of God. And so God knew the problem of this young fellow, and he came right to that. Well, Jesus knew the problem and came right to that. And it said, the Bible says that when he told him that, he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, then after that, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at this. And he said in verse 25, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure. That means they were just out of their mind, not understanding what was being said at the time. And he said, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Yeah, isn't it interesting and wonderful to know that when you read stories or practical events in the scriptures, we just see people as they really are? It's kind of like us. In our day, we'd have questions, and we don't understand it. We just say, and it wants to have someone like Jesus you could talk to. Well, I'm glad we got his word today where he can talk to us about anything we face in life. And then he goes on, and he says, and Jesus looking upon him said, with men it's impossible, with God, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And Peter said unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Now, I would expect that of Peter. He kind of outspeaks any time. When he talked about it, he said, well, now, Lord, listen, we've left everything to follow thee. We've already done that. And then Jesus said, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel. Now, why did he say that? To show what he meant would be reap rewards. He shall but he shall receive a hundredfold now. In this time, he's talking about houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecution. Now, that's what I want you to notice. You're going to be blessed and probably receive a hundredfold. But when you get the blessings, because you gave up blessings, he's going to return it a hundredfold, but it's going to be with persecution. And that's, remember those words. And he goes on, and then he says, and the world to come, eternal life. And then he said, many that are first should be last, and the last first. Now, when I look at this, and you talk about this, the word cross, we have to understand what cross means. And we look at that through the message for just a few comments tonight. Jesus' cross meant his crown, his cross on Calvary. We know that. That's the top thing here he's talking about. He's headed to Calvary. That's where he's going to suffer the most. He suffered going to Calvary the last a few hours before he died. But at the same time, we don't know what kind of suffering he suffered when God extracted eternal death from him so we could have eternal life. And he took our place on Calvary. But Mark in chapter 10, again, in verse 21, we see here that he said, take up the cross and follow me. Notice the terms, how he put that. Come, take up the cross and follow me. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, he didn't say cross. He said, just come and follow me. If you also look in Luke, he said the same thing. In Luke 18, he said, come and follow me. Now, as I approach these Gospels to understand about this thing of the cross, then I want to get the sequence of how each Gospel presents Christ. And we know this, that in Matthew, that Jesus is presented as King. He's King of Kings. We also know in Luke, he's presented as the Son of Man. And we know that God presents him as the Son of God in John. But I want you to note that when you look at Mark 10, Mark presents him as the servant. And isn't it interesting, out of all that's written about the cross, come and follow me, it is as the servant in Mark that God the Holy Spirit had put in there, notice the term, that he was take up the cross and follow me. The insane thing about cross, when you look at what he said, come and follow me in Luke and Matthew. But as a servant, and then John, he didn't mention at all. But as the servant in Mark, he mentioned, take up the cross and follow me. Now, if you look in 10, he said that it would be with Mark 10:30, it would be with persecution. If you look in Luke chapter 9, go over to Luke chapter 9, let's see another verse of Scripture that talks about this. If you look in 9, down about verse 23, you find this is about a year before Christ goes to Calvary, and he talks about the same thing, about a cross, or talks about denying himself. He said, and he said unto them, verse 23, if any man will come and follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, we know that he's talking about the cross of the individual. Well, what would be that cross? Is it every type of suffering he had? No, absolutely not. He said in 4 that there comes a time when there comes a person surrenders to God completely. He'll face things in life simply not because that he is a Christian, but because he's gone beyond just naming to be a Christian and serving God in a way where persecution comes because of that. And we'll see that develop a little bit. Also, if you notice in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus said, not to do this, you're not worthy of me. So Jesus had hinted many times about his sacrificial death. Unbelief and immaturity was the cause of them not understanding his words. And because they could not put it together, they couldn't accept it until Jesus went further and explained it to them. Unbelief was the cause. Now, Jesus is talking about discipleship here. I have to get things in context. He's not talking about becoming a son. This happens already. You have to be a son before you can be a disciple follower of Christ. You have to be born into the family of God before you can actually become a follower of Christ. Amen? I mean, there's no way possible that it amounts to anything unless you all know what is to be born again. So discipleship follows sonship. And this is learning and then practicing what we know by following even when we are persecuted. When God calls us to something, he lets us know that we are to practice and follow that even if persecution should come. Now, the cross, just make a statement here, is a symbol of shame and guilt and suffering and rejection. So that means if we're following Christ and we come to the point that someone tries to shame us or make us feel guilty or cause us to suffer or even reject that which has been said, that's the things that Christ himself felt. And that's the cross we carry for him, but it is not the cross that he actually carried in the element end, because there's no way you and I could ever die on a cross and end up paying for sin. You couldn't do that. So what we're saying now is that there is some things that Christ did suffer before. I mean, even Peter himself was hung upside down on a cross in his death for serving the Lord, not because he was just Peter. You know, Peter could have denied Jesus Christ probably before he died, like he did it up there when Christ was at Sanhedrin court, and probably not been crucified. But when he came to that time, he was willing to go even to death because he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But his dying on the cross was because he was following Christ and willing to go so far as to actually accept the shame and the suffering and die on the cross. But Peter could not even pay for his own sin, let alone anyone else's sin. So his going to the cross has nothing to do with his sin itself, but it has to do with all that he's doing. And God is saying suffering is this type of thing that where you will suffer something. It may not be going to the cross and being crucified, but you will suffer something because you are an ambassador, you are a voice of God, you are a witness because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know this is where when this is interfering to God's work, in Luke 9, 20 and 23, he said this is saying to self when it comes to daily life, it's saying no to self when self wants to do something other than what God wants to do. This is a type of cross that we put, that God says we wear, and when we say no to something, God wants us to do it. And we say no to self and do what God says to do. Therefore, there's something coming later we're going to have to bear because of that, and God will bring us through it. In Romans 12, 1, he said, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, that's a reasonable service. In other words, we yield to the Holy Spirit as ambassadors of Christ, and when we do that as a servant, we will suffer some things. It may just be a bad mouth. It may be a cussing out. It could be put in prison like Paul. In others, there's a lot of things that just depend on how bad society is against Christ. And we'll see why that happens in just a minute. So we know one who is ashamed of Christ will never take up the cross and follow him. If a child of God is ashamed of Christ, and I hope no child of God would be ashamed of Christ, but if a child of God comes to the place and feels shame or guilty because they trusted Christ as their Savior, they will never do what needs to be done to take up this cross. Because it's a shame, and we have to bypass that and realize, hey, if I have to suffer shame for Christ, it's worth it. Because he suffered a lot more for me than I would ever do for him in this life. When you look in 1 John chapter 2, turn there with me just a moment. In 1 John, down about chapter 2, and look in verse 28. He says, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Not be ashamed of God. Not be ashamed of our testimony about him. Not be ashamed as a workman working for him. Not be ashamed of the gospel to present it to this world. Not be ashamed of our Savior. Jesus' cross is in the Bible is the suffering and the death for sin that Jesus Christ went through to pay for our sin. And after Calvary, everything else for God's kingdom through Christ, here his cross is a persecution. You and I come after Calvary. There's nothing we can do in the sense inside of God to pay for our sin. But we can suffer like Christ did before Calvary and even to place on Calvary because of the burdens that he carried and because of the sin that we have that causes us problems. We can love him enough to say, Lord, whatever it takes, we want to surrender to you. And I like the last song you sung tonight talking about giving him everything. By the way, he deserves everything. He deserves everything. And we thank God for that. So the cross in the Bible is the suffering and the death for sin that Jesus Christ went through to pay for sin. So after Calvary, everything is for God's kingdom through Jesus Christ. And here his cross of persecution to a small degree is our cross as he suffered before he went to Calvary. If he got beaten, as he did, some three times, and the apostles got beaten, they suffered for that was their cross, part of the cross carrying. when they got, you know, dispelled or whatever happened, scourged, whatever happened. It was a type of a cross to carry, and it has to do with suffering. And so look at me in John chapter 15. Jesus tells us a little bit about this. In John chapter 15, look, if you will, down about verse 15. John chapter 15, and down about verse 15. And here's what God said. Henceforth, I call you not servants, or Jesus said this, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You're not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Watch this. And that your fruit should be remained, that whatsoever ye shall ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. Now, verse 18. If the world hate you. Now, he didn't say that if it would not. But he said, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And this is where you're going to see the cross we carry is the cross he may refer to as our cross, deny ourselves and carry our cross, which in turn is to suffer for Christ, but never go as far as you think we'd go to pay for our own sin, because it's entirely different. His cross was much heavier than what we'd ever have to carry in this particular life. And notice he said, if you were in the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Isn't that some language? And somebody said, I don't see how anyone could hate you just to be a Christian. Well, Jesus said they would. I guess if you didn't ever do anything and ride a plank of grace and just be, never say anything and there'd be controversy anyway, you'd get along pretty good. But I wonder where a person would be saved and do that in this life. Because God certainly is going to want us to, he tells us, he's documented, and he gives us a fact that he's exactly what he expects of us in this life. But all these things they will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Jesus said, hey, just for my name's sake, you talk about me. You don't talk about yourself. Just talk about me, and for my name's sake, they're going to do this to you. And so he goes on. He said, if I have not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin, but now they have to go cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I have not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. And this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. So maybe the phrase taking up our cross for Jesus is to suffer persecution as his ambassadors in our time on this earth, when we get out and knock on doors, when we stand firm on biblical truths, when we in this world today, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're apt to face more crosses today than ever before if you stand for God, if you stand for Jesus Christ. Now, may you turn with me for just a thought. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 8. And we're going to look at something, how Jesus said this. In Mark chapter 8, it's back over a few pages for 10. This is about a year, a little more, before Jesus goes to Calvary. And he's already talking about this same thing. Look in verse 34 with me. Notice he says this. Now, this is again about a year before he goes to Calvary. And he says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, not only to his disciples, to all the people that were there. He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, it's a known fact, if anyone even tried to make that Jesus' cross hadn't even been gone to as of yet. So he is setting it forth as his cross set forth the utopia of suffering for sin. The cross we carry is because of who he is, and because of hatred towards him, we have the benefit of that hatred towards us simply because we want to stand for the Lord. So he goes there. Notice the word whosoever. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, the meaning of the cross many times is often misunderstood. Again, the cross is an emblem, as I said, of suffering and of shame. It's a symbol of disgrace. It was the worst possible way that a person could die. It caused the most pain and suffering that any man could cause. It was a torture chamber almost when you saw a person was hanging on the cross outside of Jerusalem. But he said, whosoever will. So we know this, but John 3:16, that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. If a person becomes one of the whosoever will to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, there's going to be some things he's going to have to face before he gets home to glory, unless God takes him home right then. And that can be a cross if it's for the suffering because of the Word of God. And so we see, but he goes further than that. You see, sonship is first. And then after sonship, we have what is called discipleship in following him is second. So whosoever will, in John 3:16. But now he's talking about whosoever will come after me. Not only have you believed in Jesus Christ, but now are you ready as a soldier, as an ambassador, to say, Lord, whatever my abilities are, I give to you. Whatever that I can do, I give to you. And I ask you to use me for your glory. And what you do is take a step by faith now to serve him as a servant. And God will use us when we do that. That whosoever, the whosoever in John 3:16 means anyone in the world who will come by faith to Jesus Christ. The whosoever here, as we see in Mark 8:34, includes those who will come after him when they see him personally as their Savior. This includes you, includes me, includes your neighbor, includes your friends. It doesn't exclude anyone. John 3:16 doesn't exclude anyone to be saved except the person who do not trust Christ as Savior. And the Bible teaches us that even the fact that when the person rebels against the Holy Spirit, it's an unpardonable sin. The only thing that you and I cannot be forgiven of is to rebel against the Holy Spirit about trusting Christ as Savior. Even God, what we do to God the Father can be forgiven. What we do to Jesus Christ, he says, can be forgiven. But you cannot be forgiven if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That is, Holy Spirit, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. I don't believe your message and reject Jesus Christ. When you do, there is no hope because there's no other way than through the Holy Spirit bringing the gospel to our heart and life. Notice the second thing it said, that said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Did you know before you get saved, you don't even know what denying yourself is, unless it has to do some petty thing in this world. But after you're saved now, he's saying this, let him deny himself. To do that is interesting because in Titus 1 verse 16, it says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good word a reprobate. In other words, denying oneself is to put God first. And there's no way you and I understand how to put God first unless we are in the family of God to understand the relationship. Put God first. How? Put him first in your marriage. Put him first in your home. Put him first in your relationships. Put him first in your life. Get self out of the way. Do not live in the me generation. You know, the me generation is what's for me that really counts and nothing else. And so whosoever will do this, he said, will come after me, let him deny himself. Then notice the last thing he said, and take up his cross. In other words, he's saying, John 15, if you serve me, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have some burden, not because of who you are. You may be the best person in the world get along with, but when you begin to talk about Jesus Christ, Jesus said, this wicked world hates him. Now, you hear people say, oh, no, hey, don't listen to someone like that. I mean, they tolerate Christ. We don't hate him. I want to tell you, you can't even tolerate and get by with it. Because Jesus Christ will accomplish what he said he's going to accomplish. And God's going to accomplish what he said he's going to accomplish through him. So here he talks about, take up your cross and follow me. Now, your cross comes in many different weights and styles. And that's what I'm going to close the show that the Bible teaches us when it talks about our cross, the burden that we carry because we want to be the vessel for God to use. In Luke chapter 14, verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, the Bible says, Jesus said, cannot be my disciple, cannot be a follower of me. Hey, maybe that's the fruit that we see on someone. Somebody says, I'm saved, but they're not following Christ. Something's wrong with the fruit. And the Bible teaches us, if the tree's right, the fruit's going to be right. And so you can very easily. You see, God has given his people a lot of things in the Scripture to judge, not to judge, but to understand the things. And when you judge, you don't judge them. You judge what you know you're going to do and not do based on the fruit, and therefore not become like they would become. So the believer's cross is not any, is not any and every kind of suffering, sickness, and tension. It doesn't mean that this cross, that every time we do something, we end up being sick, and we do this, and we do something crazy, and you know, and everything that comes my way. No, everything comes our way that may be a burden to us or hurt to us or some type of means of suffering for us is not a cross that we have to carry for Christ. You know what a cross carrying for Christ is? It's when we're doing something for Christ and suffer. Does that make sense? That makes sense? Do you think we just stand before God one day and say, but God, you know, I was doing this thing and for somebody and fell off a building, broke my back, so forth. Well, if you won't work him for the Lord, you won't. That's not a cross for him. That's a suffering. It may be a cross for the person you're working with, but that's not a cross for him. A cross for him is when we are serving him, and in that service, we receive suffering. We receive those things in time where that someone tries to disgrace us or talk about us or cuss us or try to shame us or try to do something to torture us in some way. The believer's cross must be like the Lord's when it comes to the price of a social nonconformity. When we take a stand, I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, those who went with us the other day over here to Roddy at that little rally, we were carrying a little cross for Christ then to make a stand for something that biblically is wrong in what they're trying to do, that is, this law is here in North Carolina and Charlotte and so forth. We were standing, taking a stand for biblical truth that Jesus and God's Word set forth, and when we do that, and any suffering that comes from that is a cross. It's our cross for Him. We did that to serve Him. We did that because we are a servant of Him, a disciple of Him. Why are we a disciple? Because first of all, we are the son or a daughter or a child of God. And then He helps us along that line. So the believer is born. It is the end of the path freely chosen after counting the cost. And so it's really, when you get down to it, it's the social reality of representing in an unwilling world the truths about God's Word. It's someone who stands for the truth of this book. It's one, hey, let me tell you something, folks. Those men that were killed over in the Middle East because they were Christians and would not recant their faith in Jesus Christ carried a cross. They weren't nailed to a cross in the sense it was put in a hole somewhere and let up, hang up on the air to die. But when they died for the glory of God and because of their faith, that's the cross that Jesus is talking about, the suffering of that. And so the cross is the pain involved in doing the will of God. To take up the cross means that you take your stand for the Lord Jesus, no matter what it costs. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter if you lose popularity. It doesn't matter if you lose money. It doesn't matter if you're embarrassed. Are you willing to suffer reproach for the glory of God? If so, that will become your cross for Jesus. And I tell you, some of us are carrying that. You go to the door and knock on it and try to talk to someone about the Lord out of the humble of heart. And they cuss you sometime and make you leave or tell you to leave. I've had that done many times in this town. And tell you to leave. God said, that's a cross. You took personal shame, especially when everybody else looking out the window looking at you as you leave the property. Don't tell me that won't make you feel shameful. But aren't you glad God's greater? It's not long when I get to thinking about that somehow or another I had to suffer in that way, and that's nothing like Christ suffered for me. I begin to think, God, I had a chance to even be that way. That's what the apostles meant when they were beaten for Christ because they took their stand in the book of Acts and they left shouting that God sought them even to be worthy enough to be beaten for Him. They carried a cross that time when that happened to them. The man with the cross is no longer control his destiny. He lost control when he picked up his cross because he died himself. He said, follow me, I'm the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. And I find that when I see that, follow me, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Did you know without the way, there's no going? They're saying without the truth, there's no knowing. And without the life, there's no living. To the Father, Jesus Christ means to obey Him. And when we obey Him, we will face some things. I read a story where Dwight L. Moody was in doing a crusade in Brockton, Massachusetts. And he said, a young man stood up wanting to speak. And it's obvious in this story that he knew very little about Christian doctrine. He stammered and went through and said a lot of things and took up some time. And people just You know how it is when someone gets up and just talk, but there's not a whole lot of things that you get from. Kind of like I'm doing, I'm just talking. Don't seem like I'm getting a lot of, no, I'm not. But Fitz here, and you've been there before and seen that, I'm sure. But anyhow, here, he finished by saying this as he finished. He said, I'm not quite sure, and as if he wondered about some of the things he said, but I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to obey him, whatever. And there was a man that was there by the name of Daniel Towner, a Toner. He was at the meeting. He jotted down those few words out of that complete testimony. I'm not sure, but I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey God. And he copied that phrase down. And then he turned them over to a man by the name of John Sammis, S-A-M-M-I-S. And John Salmon took those few words and developed the lyrics from them, this song. And we sing it here all the time. So Joy can understand about this. She sometimes gets a phrase in her mind. She hears a message. She hears a phrase. And suddenly God puts a direction and writes a song about that. If you've ever written songs, you know what we're talking about. And here he just had this one phrase. And here's the wonderful song that came out of that. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. And so when we and I take up the cross, it means that you take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're saying, Lord, no matter what it costs me, I'm willing to pay it if you'll help me. Whatever I have to suffer, whatever I have to go through, if I have to take a tongue lashing, if I have to take a cuss, sometimes it's hard to do that. I've been cussed out numerous times in the last 54 years here, till I hit the road at times. But I'm glad after a few times that happens, your skin gets a little tough, and you can handle a lot better. But you know what? God will help you, ladies and gentlemen, not hate someone like that, because you realize they don't understand what they're saying. Someone said, well, preach, that just makes y'all so high-minded. No, that makes us low-minded to understand that God loves them in spite of what they've done to him or to us. And we should try to show that love to them also. And so, are you willing to suffer for the reproach for the glory of God is the important thing to think about. Because that, when we do that, we carry our cross for him. Anything else is a different type of cross. But if we do it for him, we carry our cross for him. We suffer the consequence of our faith because we stand for a principle in turn to exalt the Lord, our Heavenly Father in witnessing, as I said many times in the last few months, and glorify our Savior as we yield to the Spirit of God, which job coming is to exalt Jesus Christ. And when we do that, the world Satan has control of fights against that. Even when Christ went to Calvary, it looked like Satan won. But God showed us, ladies and gentlemen, when it looks like Satan won, God has already won. And he's defeated. So tonight, I thank the Lord for that question about the cross. Yes, when you cut down to it, we carry a cross for him in the sense of suffering whatever comes our way. That may be a hurt of some kind. It might be a loss of something. It might be embarrassed of something. It might be the fact that some people, like we find missionaries in the foreign field, literally go to jail just because they try to talk to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a cross. Paul in the jail at Rome was carrying a cross for Christ. But he didn't never claim that it was to the place that he would carry exactly what Jesus carried, because Paul knew, and we know, we carry the cross for Christ in the sense of our testimony, in the sense of may having to suffer because of our testimony, but there's not a one of us ever said we carried a cross that where we died on it for sin. We can't die for sin. We can die because of sin. But you can't die for sin. That means you could pay for it if you could. He not only died for sin, he paid for it. Amen. May you stand to your feet, please. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for the Word of God that has the answer for everything we need in this particular life. And I thank you, Lord, for times when people hear messages and there are things that Word comes back. This, to me, was an enjoyment to go back and study this and understand what God meant when he talked about us carrying our cross. And when Jesus talked about that one time, he said, unless we do that, we can't be his disciple. That is, we can't follow him like we should. Because when we talk about Jesus and stand firm upon our faith on biblical principles, Satan will fight. He may fight us through offering things that would distract us. He tried to get Christ to look at the world he could offer to him in Matthew 4. Our Father, and Jesus talked to him that he should live not by bread alone, by every word that cometh from the mouth of God. And Lord, when we try to do that, we're going to find Satan has his planners somewhere or another who hates Christ so much. People say, well, I don't hate Christ, I just hate those who follow him. And Jesus said this when he was here. He said, if they hate me, they hate the Father, my Father. If they hate you, they hate me. And in turn, the channel goes straight to the Father because the author came from him by his Spirit to us in this life to tell us about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this week, we go into the world, Lord, and we look and we find ourselves to be separated to you, yielded to ye. And we know this, when we yield to you, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, God teaches us that would help us not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when we are transformed and not conformed to this world, that's when Satan works the hardest through people to try their best to stop us by discouraging us, by trying to do things to us that would hurt us, or even in times, if not physically, emotionally, by passing laws and putting us in boxes that whereas in turn, if we even fight for the cause we know we have the freedom in Christ, then we lose that freedom in a government who don't recognize it and makes people think that we break the law simply because we obey God. We know this. God, greater is he that sinners in the world. And the apostle said in the day, when it comes down to obey government or God, we must obey God before we obey men. And that means that we will find a cross to carry when we do that. Night, as we dismiss, Lord, and we pray, I pray our church body will pray continually. When they go to bed tonight, pray and pray for the camp meeting. See our hearts as we prepared. Our folks have worked hard. Now we're ready to see what God will do as we work through this week. We have more motel rooms now than we ever had before. We've had people coming from states that we never had before. So, Father, I pray somehow or another this week that you would be glorified. And in turn, someone would be saved. Someone would be encouraged. And they say, what a joy it was to come. There, somebody may be thinking right now, I don't know if I can go or not. Something has come up. Something has come up in the church. Something has come up in their life. There have been a problem or a situation. And Father, they like to come, but they think maybe I can't come. I pray you work that out so they could come and in turn be blessed and go back and handle whatever they have to handle better because they found God's love in a place that's designed to try to be a blessing to people. And we'll thank you for that. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.